Harper has gotten three straight non-strikes called by Phil Cuzzy. I don't know what he did to Phil Cuzzy, but that's a ridiculous sequence. And Phil Cuzzy is hearing about it from the Phillies bench right now. And he well should hear about it. 1-2 pitch. And that one is...
That's again, that he just doesn't understand the zone right now. He's really lost. I'm a little surprised JT...
I'm a little surprised that somebody on the bench hasn't been thrown out of this game at this point.
Right.
Kirkering ready, the 2-2. And that one is another strike he misses. He's literally struck him out three times.
I've never seen anything like this.
What is going on?
Well, there it was. That was Scott Fransky, Kevin Stocker on the call last night out there in San Francisco.
Scott's the best, man.
That was a terribly umped game and umped eighth inning from Phil Cuzzy. Yeah, that was unbelievable commentary from Scott there.
I like Scott, man, because Scott has a way of saying things that I guess he thinks should happen.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I mean? And for him to say, I'm surprised nobody's gotten thrown out, like basically saying that somebody needs to do something.
Yeah.
This is egregious.
Not as direct as LA usually is.
Yeah.
Clowns.
Yeah, you feel it, man, and that's why I love listening to him, man, because he does a great job. And I say this every time I hear one of his cuts. He does a great job of bringing you inside the game. He really, really does.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The best is being in the booth at the games when the umpire is a disaster and L.A. is just losing his mind.
Yeah, L.A. is the best,
It's great because you hear him on the air, but also his like mannerisms, just throws his arms up in the sky. It's pretty funny to watch. But yeah, I mean, Phil Cuzzy was a disaster last night. Calls Bryce Harper out on strikes. And you go look at the pitches in this pitch sequence. None of them were strikes. Absolutely none of them were strikes. Bryce Harper called out looking. The zone was all over the place all night long. And then Kirkering, in the bottom of the eighth inning, he had the guy struck out three times. And nothing... Phil Cuzzy misses all the calls. And hey, we don't need to do the robot ump discussion again. I think we all know... Everybody's pretty much on board with this at this point. I don't think anybody at this point is still clamoring for the Phil Cuzzies and CB Buckners of the world to be umpiring games. But, you know, it was just awful last night. And here was Bryce Harper after the game on some of those missed calls in the eighth inning.
I felt confident today. Felt really good where I was. And thought I was going to be in some good counts. And thought I was going to be in some good situations. But, you know, sometimes that happens. And umpire took over the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. The umpire did take over the game, and he was brutal.
I will say this about that, though. As egregious as those calls were, still got a hit, man.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this team is in a situation where, you know, for the last couple of weeks, there has been some really, really good pitching that you haven't taken advantage of. So, you're not going to get those calls. It's almost like a defensive lineman that is talking about holding when he's not getting off the blocks. You know what I mean? So it's kind of the same thing. As much as you want that call and you want it to go your way, if you're not a team that's not hitting the ball anyway, does it really matter?
No, I mean, you can't blame it solely
for sure. Can't. I mean, but I get it. But you have to do your job. You know, you got to go out there and you got to move runners over, man. You got to get on base. You got to hit the baseball.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
No, absolutely. And I mean, the offense didn't do their job, but Cuzzy was just brutal.
Yeah, no, I get that. I definitely get that part. That was horrible.
Yeah, no. And the question does become, with Rob Thompson, what should he have done? Here was Topper talking about it after the game and whether Kirkering got squeezed in that bottom of the eighth.
Do you think Kirkering got squeezed there in the eighth, and do you think that affected the inning?
Well, I heard that. I haven't seen the pitches yet. I haven't looked at the tape, but he was having trouble gripping the ball for whatever reason. The balls were a little bit slick, so he couldn't. It's more on a slider than his fastball. But.
Now, I think Topper's being a little diplomatic there.
He got to be.
I would like to hear him come out a little stronger in defense of his guy, but as far as getting kicked out, Hugh, because like you said, Scott kind of talking about it there, like something needs to happen, somebody needs to stand up and get run here. Do you think Rob Thompson should have gotten kicked out of that game?
That is not what Rob Thompson does. That's not his demeanor. I mean, we've sat here and we watched Bryce get plunked quite a few times. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, when he came back, he got hit. Got hit again.
And yep.
Nothing happened. So that's just not what he's going to do. So I think at this point, I mean, it would be great to see, but I just don't think that this is this team's demeanor. Suburban energy. You know, that suburban energy. Nobody's jumping out that minivan throwing hands.
So you were okay with Topper not doing it?
I mean, it's almost like asking somebody to do something that's not in their nature.
I hear you, and I'll say this. I was originally in that spot, but the more I hear Scott there and look at it, the more I think Topper probably should have gotten run last.
You
got to do something.
Scott described it as the bench was giving it to the umpire.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're Topper, you're really just going to sit there and be like, guys, I don't know. Like, I got to see if there are strikes or not. Like, no, dude, the guys on your team are screaming at the umpire. Go out there and chew him out, dude. It's the eighth inning. Like, what's the worst that can happen? You get ejected?
Again, you're asking somebody to do something that's not in their comfort zone.
I don't care. He's gotten kicked out before.
He has.
Like a time or two.
How long ago was that?
I don't know. I think earlier this year.
Maybe earlier this year he did.
I'm not sure.
It's not like he's never done it, though. Like, he's done it before.
But at first, I was on the side, honestly, of, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal. And then I just heard Topper's answer, and that just annoyed me. Like, you know what? You got to do something. That was a Mickey Mouse answer
from
Topper.
The biggest thing is that the players were clearly upset about it. Your clubhouse, the guys in your dugout there, are pissed off at this umpire. And it's a problem to the point where they think it's egregious. Go out there and have their back.
Yeah. Yeah. Go get run. Get kicked out of the game.
Come on, Douglas.
Go to the clubhouse and have a beer, Topper.
You know what that sounds like when you say that?
Have a jack.
You're egging somebody to go out there and swing on somebody or hook with somebody.
No, nobody
really
needs to. No, hold on. No,
why? I'm just saying. That's the analogy.
There's a middle ground between somebody getting swung on in a Don Zimmer situation. And somebody just going to chew out the umpire.
Yeah, I don't want to see Topper getting thrown down by Rafael Devers or something.
But you don't understand what I'm saying. It's like say if you're somewhere and somebody's egging you on to go, well, go say something. Say something.
Yeah.
And you really, like, I don't want to, you know, I really
don't
want to do that.
I don't want that energy from my manager, you.
That's kind of what it feels
like. Come on, man.
But, like, that was the beginning of the end of Joe Girardi when everyone was like, this guy is asleep in the dugout.
It's true.
What did they call him last week? Rob Zombie.
And let me be clear. I'm a pro Topper guy, but that answer, that was a terrible answer from Topper. No, I'm disappointed in him.
I'm not going to lie. It's telling when Scott says it like that. Somebody needs to do something. Yeah. Well, we know, you know, he's in the booth, so Topper's not going to do anything.
Right. If, like, the play-by-play broadcaster is saying, hey, is anybody awake down there? Somebody go do something.
When they say he ain't about that life.
I mean, come on, Topper. That was bad. That was bad stuff. He's got to go do something there, Hugh.
I mean,
Come on, Douglas.
I mean, when y'all say it like that, it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And what did he... Wait a minute, that's a soft take, Hugh. What did he say in the press conference again, Kyle?
Yeah, let's play the Topper sound again here.
Do you think Kirkland got squeezed there in the eighth, and do you think that affected the inning?
Well, I heard that. I haven't seen the pitches yet. I haven't looked at
them. He don't want none of that smoke.
He was having trouble gripping the ball for whatever reason. The ball's a little bit slick, so he couldn't. More on a slider than his fastball.
I'm sorry,
well,
that's a joke.
I heard that.
That's like somebody calling you a name, and you'd be like, he just called you a name. Well, I didn't hear that.
Well, hang on.
He says, I heard that. He's watching the game from the dugout. Like, you're watching the game.
The other problem with it is that not only did he not have his players back, he goes to Kirkering, who's having trouble gripping the ball.
He blamed
Kirkering for it.
It has nothing to do with it.
Maybe he was missing the zone. He's having trouble gripping the ball. What are you talking about?
Okay. Oh, my God.
Maybe this one time.
Apologize.
Just this one time.
We finally successfully bully you into changing his opinion.
I've been trying for a while now.
They've been bullying me quite a bit. But that was kind of soft, though.
Yeah. That was terrible. That was an awful answer.
Maybe I didn't see it that way. Maybe I didn't see it the same way.
Not going to lie. I was fully prepared to defend Topper. And then I heard that answer. And I'm like, I can't defend this. This is just soft. Like, this is not in the spirit of competition.
I was trying to find the good in me.
Oh, yeah.
Stop. What did I tell you yesterday?
Stop. We are adults.
We don't find the good in people.
We are adults, and we have to act accordingly.
Stop trying to find the good in everybody.
Now, the guy who's saying that we're adults is the guy who couldn't get past the fact that one of the callers said raid the box in the first segment.
Yeah, raid the box.
Yeah, we're adults. I don't think we're as adults as you think we are, you. 215-592.
Raid the box was crazy.
What would 0405 Hugh Douglas do?
I'd probably be somewhere with some handcuffs on or something.
Didn't you watch
I'm trying to move past those days.
So you used to be about that life.
I want Hugh Douglas back.
I'm trying to move past those days.
You used to be about that life. He's not about that life anymore.
I've been going to therapy. I've been doing therapy.
With Dr. Carp?
Definitely not with Dr. Carp. Shout out to Coach Dr. James, George James. That's my psychiatrist.
215-592.
I need to make an appointment.
I want to have a chat with that dude.
215-592-9494. Should Topper have gotten ejected last night? Absolutely. And do you think the Phillies need to make a big splash at the trade deadline, trading a guy like Andrew Painter, even trading somebody from the major league roster, trading an Alec Boehm, really shaking up this roster? Is that what they need, or are you okay with a couple minor moves to try to improve this team? Let's go back to the phones. Go to Zoe and Bluebell. What's up, Zoe?
What is going on, gentlemen? Let me tell you. Listen, first thing we got to talk about is Rob Thomson not getting out there and getting in somebody's face. Listen, that ump cost them the game. It wasn't just like, you know, the Harper, you know, the bad pitches to Harper, but he gave pitches to the other team. You know, Kirkering struck him out 3 times. It's like that in my mind is reason enough for you to get out of the – literally it cost you the game. It was a 1-1 game at that time. Mm. You've got to come out of the dugout. You've got to back up your guys. You got to say something. And this goes back to, you know, weeks ago where a Harper got hit and we didn't retaliate. He's too soft. Listen, I've been a Topper. I've been backing him up this entire time. But now I feel like the guys aren't doing what he wants them to do because he's not showing any backbone. It's like you got to stand up, man up, protect your players, protect your team, and make a move. And we do need a big splash this offseason, or we're going to end up home watching the playoffs after the first round. That's my take.
Well, I agree with that part, Zoe. But, and yeah, I mean, Topper, he's got to do something in that spot. You can't just react like that.
Come on, Hugh. Come on, Douglas. I'm glad you flipped sides on this one.
Well, I'm trying to be an adult in this situation, and all the time you don't need to handle it with violence or potential violence.
He never handled it though.
Yeah, he ain't about that life though. Like there are some people about that action. Topper's not about that action all the time. But I get what you're saying.
You know what? He need an assistant coach to be up there handling that business for him. If he ain't going to do it, get you an enforcer.
Yeah,
don't go out there and bark.
Yeah, you're right. But it don't hit the same if you're not the guy doing it, though. I get what you're saying. You're but right. He got to be you're the right. guy that's doing it. But that's just like asking. That's just like, Zoe, that's like going somewhere with somebody and you're about to get in a street fight. You know he ain't about to throw no hands. You know you about to get beat up. You know what I mean? You about to get beat up. So it's kind of the same thing.
But you know what, his team, they're not fearful of him, and that's why they don't all – I mean, granted, they're starting to play some small ball now, but because of that lack of fear of what your manager might do, you talk crazy. You know what I mean? You do whatever you want to do, and you're like, hey, this is just the way I play. This is the way – listen, I hate to say it, but I hope we let Boehm go. I talked about it at the beginning of the year.
Mm.
Listen, let him go. He's playing just good enough for us to get something for him. Let him go. Let's make some big splashes. Show the team you're trying to mean business. You're trying to make some moves. A small thing ain't going to do it because we still got the same team, and they're going to do the same crap, you know, low and outside on those pitches, and they're going to be swinging strikes or swinging on the first pitch. I mean, let me just relax.
Yeah, I got you, Zoe.
You're getting hyped. Zoe sound like he bought that action.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Zoe. Let me be clear. We're not calling for violence. Like, I'm not calling for Topper to go out and start swinging on Phil Cuzzy, but maybe a little verbal assault?
A verbal assault.
Yeah. Say, hey, man.
Hey, man, what you doing?
What the bleep are you doing?
What you doing?
What, open your bleeping eyes.
Stick your chest out and get in his face and let him see what your breath smell like or something. Get all up in his face.
Out of your ass.
No, I'm with you.
Well, I do want to get your perspective, though, Hugh. Like, as a player, you're in that situation. You see the manager not doing anything. Like, from the clubhouse, because I generally disagree with the assessment that players don't respect him. They see him as soft or whatever. But if you're in that clubhouse, how do you kind of react after a situation like that?
Me personally, I've been known to overreact a lot of times. So that's why I'm trying to course correct as much as I can. So that's why when I see the egregious things that happen and the fact that Scott said it, because Scott tries to play it he does play it down the middle, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear that coupled with what actually happened, it kind of it makes you feel like something was warranted in that situation.
But from a player's perspective, can that impact like how you view a manager? Or do you think they're just so accustomed with the fact that's the way Topper is, it doesn't faze them?
I will say this. If in that situation, if Topper would have went out there and stuck his chest out, that would have made me look at him different. Like, oh my gosh, he does have a pulse or something like that. Yeah, there's something to that. And he got ejected. I would say, yeah, there's something to that.
Yeah, and that I think is important to do that sometimes and go show your players that, and they all know he cares, but sometimes you do need to do stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, just looking at this pitch by pitch last night, all these pitches, two of the three pitches are fully in the zone. The other one's right on the line, and to not call any of those strikes is just awful. Let's go to Aaron in San Diego. What's up, Aaron?
Aaron.
C-O-O-D-M-O-R-N-I-N-G. Philadelphia.
I mean, come on.
Oh, my God.
Little shout out to Chris from Middletown Town. Trying to turn a new leaf, boys.
I can tell.
It's nice to be nice, and I'm trying to be nice. TK, I got to tell you, you were very hurtful. You know, words sometimes do hurt, and you were a little bit mean yesterday.
A little bit.
Well, Aaron, if you have a good call, I won't be mean. But you're not off to a great start today, man.
You haven't even given this host slash caller relationship a chance to mature and bloom.
I'm giving it a chance right now, Aaron.
You don't want to do that.
But every second that goes by, I'm losing patience with you.
Hey, Kyle, I need more fire and energy like I had like you did in the pre-call, man. That is dynamite radio, my friend.
I need you to get to the Phillies.
Oh, is that what we're talking about today, the Phillies?
Oh, my God.
Hey, in terms of the Topper and the Harper thing, you know, Topper not coming out and nobody coming to the defense of Harper every time that somebody plunks him, it's just a sign that, you know, this team is what it is, and there is no fire, there is no desire, there is no passion. You know, and I understand, Hugh, that Topper's, you know, personality isn't to come out of that dugout with his hair on fire, but that at this point is what needs to happen. There has to be a spark. There has to be something to ignite this team.
Yeah, I mean, there does need to be something to ignite them, Aaron. They didn't get it from Topper last night for sure.
And then Tom.
Yes.
You know, outside of them bringing in Judge, Otani, Tatis, Machado, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to bring in another Merrifield or Kepler or Hayes?
Well, I want somebody better than that. Yeah,
definitely nothing in between any of those, yeah. You know, the greatest players in baseball and total turds.
It's not going to matter. These guys, you know, somebody, the next time that Harper gets plunked, somebody's got to run out of that dugout and just tackle or give the guy a forearm shiver, something. Take the 10-day suspension, but they've got to light a fire under this team.
Larry, you just said it doesn't matter.
Yesterday, that ump needs to be brought up on charges, man. That guy needs to be thrown out of the Major League Baseball.
Well, it was a terrible performance, Aaron. I appreciate your call. I think I appreciate your call. But Phil Cuzzy, he was brutal last night. And it is funny because you look around Major League Baseball and the player recently, I forget the guy's name, who is now being subject of an investigation because of like a single pitch. I don't know if this has to do with people bet on a pitch being a ball instead of a strike. Now he's getting investigated.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe, do we need to look into Phil Cuzzy here? I think he had a little bit of dough on that game last night.
Seriously,
probably. I'm kidding around. I'm being facetious.
Oh no, I'm just saying. Yeah. No, I'm just saying. Okay.
Yeah, I'm being facetious.
I was about to say for real.
No, I just think he can't see. I just think he's a bad umpire.
Yeah, he probably was that.
Yeah, I think probably that's what that. It is. But with Aaron, we can all agree he's intentionally being bad on the air,
just,
right? Like I think it's got to be intentional.
I can't. I think he thinks that it's cute.
You can't.
And
naturally
it's really annoying.
I don't think he can naturally be that bad. You know,
you'd be surprised, man.
You mean Aaron?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all. But see, because
you're an Aaronsman.
I'm not an Aaronsman. Sounds weird to me. No, I'm just saying. I mean,
okay. All right. I mean, I didn't.
Kyle, I already know what it is, but Kyle, your thoughts on Aaron?
He's a lot, man. He's a lot.
I mean, you talk to him more than we do.
Yeah.
I've taken two of Aaron's calls now, and this is the way I'll put it. I think there's a lot of room for improvement.
Out of the list of the callers that call, Aaron is the one that bothers me the least.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's like by far the most for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that y'all got something going.
You know, yeah, for me,
I can name some other callers that, well, I won't, but, you know, there's some other people.
Cowboy Jim's bothers him.
Yeah. But
in kind of an endearing way, maybe.
But, like, Cowboy Jim, you almost know what the shtick is. Like, Aaron, you have to, and you don't know this, but, like, when I'm on the phone with him back here, I can't, like, it's like pulling teeth trying to get him to, like, say what he has to say. He's got to do his whole routine with me back here, and I just don't need it, man. Well, I don't need it.
And just a pet peeve for me as a host is, like, when you get on, you ask us what we're talking about. I can't. I mean,
That's quarterback problems. I don't have to deal with all that.
Yeah. Well, it's
I got you.
It's just frustrating. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Back to your calls on all the stuff with the Phillies. If you're upset with Topper for not getting a run going after Phil Cuzzy last night and on the deadline, I want the Phillies to do something drastic coming up. Speaking of that, I have a name that I think is kind of interesting when you look at guys who could be available potentially at the deadline. Give you a proposal thought of coming up next. 215-592-9494. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Hatfield just dropped something special, people. Marinated carnitas. They're boneless, and it's pork. It's a pork roast, and it's boneless. It's tender, juicy, flavor for days. This isn't your average pork roast, people. This is a next-level pork roast. The new Hatfield Marinated Carnitas Pork Roast is perfect for Sunday dinner or whenever you want to feel like a hero without breaking a sweat. Trust me, you're going to want to grab one. Put some pork on your fork. Hit up simplyhatfield.com to find a retailer near you. Hatfield, better care, better pork.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. This is the Midday Show. Sorry, I just started laughing, come back from break, because it's that return where you said shark meat isn't good because they pee through their skin.
Yeah, the sharks pee through their skin.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, and that was right after, I guess, Joe ate some shark meat?
Yeah, he was talking about eating some shark, man. Okay. Joe liked to do nasty stuff like that, man. Okay. Like swim in the ocean and stuff like that.
Nobody, you don't like to swim in the ocean?
No.
Well, come on, man.
No, man. What
are you worried about in the ocean?
Sharks. Well,
there are no sharks out there.
It is some sharks out there, man.
not in our ocean. Sharks.
Well, we were by the bay, and Hugh was worried about sharks.
Oh,
sharks
really? In Sea Isle? Yeah. Sea Isle Bay?
Sharks in the bay.
We asked him how deep he thought the bay was. He's like, I don't know, like a mile?
About a mile deep. Deep enough for both to be in there.
Well, definitely not a mile, but how deep is the bay? What, 30 feet?
I think you can get about that.
Yeah.
Not a mile.
No, not a mile.
Miles, I don't know, miles
we were
a
out
lot.
There and Buddy caught a flounder, right?
Yeah.
But he only caught one.
Oh, really?
And he was like, hey, you know, he was like, you know, he's listening to the show, and it was like, man, how many fish you catch? He said one. I was like, what, you just, what, for one, for like breakfast or whatever?
Yeah.
And he said maybe. But he only had one flounder, though.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like a fruitful day. If you're going to go out and fish, you want to catch one flounder.
I guess he only fishes what he needs. And if he needs some more, he'll go get some more fish.
Yeah.
Kind of like going to the refrigerator, I guess.
For added context, Hugh also told us he would never go to Lake Tahoe because there could be whales in there. A lake.
That was.
It is the fence. You never know. You never know.
No, wait a minute.
You do know. It's a lake.
Wait a minute. Hold up. I sent y'all a video of a shark that was in a lake. Somebody dropped the shark in the lake.
But like, I mean, we're talking about like a one.
Naturally.
I'm just saying. They're probably there.
Okay.
You've never been.
Hey.
Never been.
I get it.
But you know, it's a possibility.
Yeah. You never know.
It's like, really not a possibility. Like a whale would not get into a lake.
I don't understand how people are comfortable with swimming in water that you can't see. It's called a fear. I forgot what it was, but it's a fear. It's a phobia of swimming in water where you can't see the bottom. I forgot the exact name of it, but it is. It's a phobia.
I kind of understand.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I mean it's tough. Just when like you get a little deep out there.
A couple weeks ago, somebody on one of the cruises, their daughter fell off the side, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped in to get his daughter. And, you know, as any parent would do, you know, you jump in and get your kid. But I was just thinking, if Harper fell in the ocean.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Like, if he fell in the ocean, I'm going to go get him.
but there's conditions.
But I'm going to go get him because it's on me. But there's going to be a hesitation. And when I get him out the water, I'm going to be very upset with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Very upset with him.
He's going to know.
He's
going to
be, like, traumatized.
Not to do that again.
No, because you know what? Because I, like, to be honest, if he fell in the water, I'm going to go get my son now. But people are going to look at me for a second because it's gonna, I'm going to do a prank.
Peer pressure. They're going to look at me. Hey, man.
Because I'm
gonna what are you going to do
see,
here?
I'm going to wait and see if somebody else going to go. But if nobody else goes, then I got to go. You know, I got to go. I'm Pops. I got
to
go.
If somebody else goes, you still got
to
go.
Well, yeah, but I'm waiting to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go. But I'm gonna hesitate, and then I'm gonna be hot. Yeah.
Is this thalassophobia, the fear of not?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, right. But I'm gonna be mad at him though.
I can kind of see that though. It is a little eerie not being able to see the bottom.
That's what I'm saying. It's like but you don't know.
I'm not as
what's,
scared as you.
You don't
are.
Know because it was one video of a lady. She jumped. She was scuba diving or whatever, and she went to jump in the water. And when she got in, the shark came in and nicked her.
Oof.
Yeah, like it nicked her. So I'm like, no, I'm not fooling with the water. Not at all.
Yeah. That's kind of scary, but I don't think the sharks, like, they're not near the coast in Sea Island.
No, I'm not trying to find out.
Well, that's fine.
Rank these three fears that you have of the water. Whales in a lake, sharks in the bay, or wolf eels.
Okay. Sharks in the bay. Whales in the lake. Because I think
whales in the lake
real?
Number two.
No, it is. It's like they're. I think they're more in the Arctic, though. It's like in colder water.
Okay. Yeah.
There are no whales in lakes.
I'm just saying, if it was, I don't know that. I'm not getting.
I love you just envisioning.
That. I'm not trying to find.
I love Hugh just envisioning like a pod of orcas. Like
that's
like
what he was talking about.
In the lake and Lake Tahoe. Free Willy just jumps out of the water and comes crashing
down.
Y'all
laughing, but I ain't trying to partake.
It's
we
ridiculous.
Are laughing. We are laughing.
No, yeah, y'all laughing. I don't care.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Do you think Rob Thompson should have done something and got run last night? Should he have got ejected? Phil Cuzzy made a mockery of that game in the eighth inning. Should Rob Thompson have gotten ejected for that? Also, talking about the Phillies and obviously up to the trade deadline, are you good with them trying to make minor additions, minor moves to improve this team? Or do you think they need a big splash? Do you think they need to do something significant to improve this team? I do, and I have an idea that I want to throw out there in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Jimmy in Richboro. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, man. So when Kyle hit me up with the question, whether a big splash or, you know, minor moves, I was kind of like confused. I think I want a minor move. I want a locker room guy.
Okay.
You guys
got me? We got you, Jimmy. We're letting you cook.
The floor is yours. You're cooking.
So here's what I'm thinking. I mean, I think this team is solid. I think they need somebody in the locker room. Like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. Call Howie. Howie figured it out. You know, he brought in, you know, Chris Long in 17. Became a locker room guy. I think they need a locker room guy. And these guys got to figure out what they got and just take it to the house.
But, Jimmy, like, you think that's the problem? Because last year, the Phillies kind of did that. Like, that was like the Whit Merrifield move. Like, he's a good locker room guy, good clubhouse guy, will play wherever you want him to play, do whatever you want him to do. But in the end, you know, he wasn't that talented. I don't know, man. I look at it, I think it's more of a talent issue than, like, you know, a clubhouse kind of issue.
So where are you going at with a big splash? Who are you going to pick up? How you getting them?
There are going to be bats out there. Like, there are going to be teams that over the next few weeks fall out of the race. Like, it hasn't necessarily happened yet, but I do think there are going to be guys out there. Now, you're going to need to overpay, no question about it. You're going to need to pay, you know, probably a tax on it to get these guys at the deadline, but I do think there are going to be bats out there for them.
And I think the other thing is, too, that's going on, I mean, Topper's got it. He's got to start coaching again. Like, I think he's given up actually being a coach.
Well, I hear you, Jimmy. I don't agree with that. I don't think
he's given up. I just I think for a lot of people, he's not as passionate as they need him to be in certain situations.
Right. And
I think he's got his finger on the pulse of this team, though.
Well, where I am, I think Topper's a really good manager. And I think, honestly, I think he's done a great job this year. I think this has been one of the best jobs he's done. I think this has been probably the best job he's done since 2022, when he obviously turned the season around. But I do think in moments like last night, You gotta have more of a pulse. Like, you gotta do something to inspire your team. And obviously, we had this situation about a month ago with Bryce and not retaliating. But that, like, I'm not telling you need to go nuts out about every call. But when it's as egregious as it was last night, I do think you need to do a little more.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. At first, I was kind of like, because that's not his demeanor. But I tell you what, it was telling when Scott Fransky said something about it, though.
Yeah.
Scott doesn't, he plays it down the middle a lot, so it was kind of telling when Scott said that.
Yeah.
But you're still asking someone to do something that's not really in their comfort zone. You know, it's just not. It's not. He's not that guy that's going to blow his stack like that a lot of times. He's more cool, calm, and collected.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that, but I think, like, I'll ask you, and maybe I have the wrong perception because we didn't see the same things publicly as you saw privately, but I don't know, like, publicly, it seemed like a guy like Andy was more mild-mannered.
Oh, no, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, he was nuts.
Yeah, he would get going.
Yeah. But is there ever a moment that you thought, like, him publicly, whether it's in a press conference on the sidelines or something, when you'd want to see him get a little more fired up?
Not really, because we had the guys I played with, we had a bunch of characters. So that was never
– that's
true. That was really never needed a lot. And in baseball, I guess it's more strategic when you want to have, the blow-ups or whatever, because it just seems to me like it's a little bit more of a laid-back locker room in baseball as opposed to football. It's a little bit more intense. So, but I get it. I get last night in that moment that people want Topper to be a little bit more animated. I get that part.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where sometimes, and that's part of the reason why I think they need a splash too, aside from just the on-field element of it, it feels like they need a little bit of a jolt and maybe need to get a little more uncomfortable at times. And we're talking about big moves, and this is just one idea that I had. Now, I don't know how practical this would end up being here. But I look at a team like the Atlanta Braves, and you look at the Braves right now, they're in free fall. They're 11 games under 500. They're going to be sellers at the deadline. I would expect that to be the case. Now, if you look at guys who would fit well in the Phillies lineup, I look at a guy like Austin Riley. Would you consider offering the Braves a package? Say you could package Alec Boehm, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford. And you went to the Braves and said, we'll give you those three for Austin Riley. That's something that's the kind of move that I'd like to see the Phillies explore. I don't know if the Braves would do it. I don't know if the Braves are at that point where they trade a guy like Riley, but he fits perfectly in the Phillies lineup. That's something that I'd look at and I'd say, yeah, Boehm, two of our top prospects. We'll see if we can get that done.
I like Austin Riley. I remember when Austin came up and they put him at third base and, he struggled. I think he struggled a little bit early on, but then he turned into a really solid player, man. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that all day.
He's exactly what the Phillies need. He's in he's
28?
He's 28.
Like that. Yeah.
He's like a year older than Boehm, I guess. And he's had, not as great a year, but we know he hits for power. In this ballpark, I think he'd hit a lot of homers. What would you think about something like that, Kyle? Alec Boehm, Aiden Miller, Justin Crawford, maybe another prospect. Would you offer that kind of deal to the Atlanta Braves for Austin Riley? Big contract as well.
Do you think it would be that much?
I think it would be that much.
Boehm, Miller, Crawford. That's a lot, but like...
I'd do it.
So without, I don't know. The prospects thing is one thing. I think it's going to take Boehm and some prospects. Now, I don't know which prospects that would be, but like if you're asking me if I'd be willing to package Alec Boehm in a trade that gets me Austin Riley, like, yeah, I'd do that in a heartbeat. I know he's under contract for a while.
So
he's
a ton of bread, huh?
Yeah, I mean, but he's 28. He's the same age as Alec Boehm, and he's not a free agent, I think, until 2034. But like, yeah, I mean, as well as Alec Boehm has been hitting at the plate, not power-wise, but as well as he's been hitting, like, I still don't trust him as far as I can throw the guy when it comes to a playoff situation. And Riley's kind of having a down year, but that's something that you bank on as like a future piece that the Braves are willing to sell. I think that's pretty much as close to a no-brainer as you can get terms of like Alec Boehm and Austin Riley.
He's just exactly what you need. You know, a right-handed hitter who can hit for power. Now, if you trade for Austin Riley, that might mean like you're just totally saying goodbye to Kyle Schwarber. You might not be able to bring him back if you're taking back that kind of salary. But like that's the kind of thing that I look at that's kind of an unconventional thought, an unconventional move that we might not be thinking of right now, but those are the kind of things that I think the Phillies should be thinking about is if you don't want to create another hole necessarily at third base, a guy like Boehm, but if you can significantly upgrade, and I think that would be a significant upgrade, that's the kind of thing I think.
Yeah, but I think at this point, the fan base wants a move to be made, and that's the biggest thing. Nobody, I think right now, because of this team and being the same team that got ousted last year in the playoffs, that people just want to see you do something. You know, at this point, because we've asked people for the last couple of days, what do you want to do? You know, knowing what we know about the standings and everything, nobody has a definitive thing to do, but they just want you to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, that's kind of where we are with this team.
Yeah, and I mean, doing something at the trade deadline is fun. It's always fun when you're that team who goes out and makes a splash, like the Phils did in 09, 10, and 11 with Cliff Lee and Roy Oswalt and Hunter Pence. Didn't work out, but at least it was fun. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Steve in Bridgeton. What's up, Steve?
Hey, TK. Hey, Hugh. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
TK, the Braves ain't going to do that kind of trade. That's crazy. Not within the division.
Maybe not, but I thought it was, you know, it's an idea to throw out there, Steve.
Out there.
I don't know.
Before I get my point, but the response
they're going to be sellers.
That, Braves will be sellers if AA thinks they're still going to buy. That's crazy. But if they did make that kind of trade, you got no bulls left. They'll get a bullpen piece to fix.
Yeah, I mean, you still have some of those other prospects. You still have, you would be pretty much trading all your top prospects if you did a deal like that, aside from Painter. Like, Painter's the one guy who I don't think they're going to trade.
Here's what I would do. Now, if Middleton's listening, this is what I would do. Middleton needs to go above and beyond and go tell Dombrowski, bring the trophy home, do whatever it takes. Now, my moves, what I would do, first off, Crawford's got to be on this team right now. Get rid of Kepler, DFA him, or whatever. Eat the money, get rid of them, call up Crawford. Next, you either swing big for a bat or one big bullpen arm, or you go two quality arms in the bullpen and a big bat.
Yeah,
I would do.
Well, I think you need a big bat and a big bullpen arm, Steve. That's where I'm at with it.
And here's my bats. Byron Buxton, Adolis Garcia, Lourdes Gurriel Jr., if one of these guys became available, Ketel Marte or Jose Ramirez for the bats. Bullpen, I really want Felix Bautista or Duran in Minnesota. And then you either go the lower guys like Bednar, Chapman, Dennis Santana, or Kyle Finnegan or Mason Miller if they became available.
Well,
this is the last dance of this core. Middleton's got to do something. Dombrowski's his butt is on line. This is the last dance of this core. I want to see a World Series ring this year. If not, a major makeover next year is going to happen.
Yeah, I hear you, Steve.
I think that's probably going to be the case if they don't get it done this year.
Yeah, anyway. And I appreciate it, Steve. And I mean, he mentioned a lot of names there. The one that he mentioned that I got to admit, this one's kind of the one that perked my ears up a little bit. I thought was kind of interesting. Ketel Marte.
That's the one that got me too.
Yeah, he just signed a big deal with Arizona, so he's in the first year of a contract. He's under contract for a while, and it's sizable, but not, you know, insane. $15 million or so for the next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets up to 2022 at the end. He'd look a heck of a lot better at second base than Bryson Stott, I'll tell you that. So that's a name that I like.
Yeah,
I don't think the Diamondbacks are trading him, but.
Yeah, because you got to ask yourself how much you're willing to give up to get that player.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you're going to have to give up a couple, like at least three or four players, and probably some guys on your roster, starting roster too. So yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot to give up for him.
Yeah, definitely. But even a guy like that, like if you had to trade a guy like Bryson Stott, and I don't know if Bryson Stott has a ton of value at this point, probably doesn't. But I would consider moving a guy like that to get a more established player at the same position. Let's go to Mario in Northeast Philly. What's up, Mario?
Yo, what up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
What up, Hugh? Hey, yo, I'm rocking with you, Hugh, on them Phillies, man. Yo, it's a wrap. I didn't even know Bryce came back and got hit by the ball again. I missed that one, and they ain't do nothing.
when he first came back. Well, it wasn't nothing egregious, but he got hit.
It don't matter. And the question I always, maybe y'all can answer this. I've never seen this when a Joker get hit with the ball. Why they don't run up with the baseball bat and hit them with the bat?
Yeah, that's you can't do that.
It's not a good idea.
It's not a good look, man.
It's not pleasant.
You go to jail for doing that.
It was just a question because it was like, man, they hit me with the ball, 99-mile pitch, and I can't run up and swing the bat.
Yeah, that's called assault.
It's assault. Okay.
With a deadly weapon,
I thought they assaulted me with the ball, though. I got assaulted with the ball.
Yeah, you do that, I think your career's over and you're going to jail.
You're probably going to jail.
No doubt. All right.
Yeah, great idea.
Mario's about that life.
Hey, I ain't about it, but the thing with Topper, like he was saying, even if he go out there and snap, that ain't in his nature, because sometimes you can go out there and have pressure put on people, and that ain't true. So it still come off not real and genuine when you go up there. It's like people see that, like, man, he ain't really do that. That wasn't really him to go up there. Or that's not him. So I can't really fault him too much about that. They know what type of manager they had, so I'm with him on that. Like, that's not in his nature.
He ain't about that action.
They ain't about that. So you can't get mad at him. But here, another question I want to ask before I get off. Hey, what if it was nighttime and your son fell off in that water?
If it was nighttime, I got to go get him, man. It might the pause might be a little bit longer, but I'm going.
Yo, because I'm the pause too. Like,
I'd be like, damn, Harper.
Yo, you see how far he jumped off that
No,
boat?
He went off the edge, man.
Yo, that drop was a long drop.
Yeah,
too.
I
was like, dang.
I'd have been hot all the way down.
All right, fellas, that's all I had to say, man. I love talking to y'all as usual, man. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Mario. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer as a pops, though.
Yeah,
you gotta go get your kids.
Yes, you gotta do that, Hugh.
But I'm gonna hesitate.
I appreciate your honesty, man.
I'm gonna hesitate. And, you know, his mom might be upset. But I'll be like, I went. I got it.
I mean,
I'm gonna hesitate though.
Hey, you're being honest. Yeah, it's got to be a scary thing. But hopefully, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen.
Oh, it's not gonna happen because
he's
not going on. Man, listen, we get on a cruise. Hey, man, you stay your ass right next to me, like right here, on my hip.
Are you a cruise guy?
I've been on a cruise before. It was cool.
Okay,
it was cool. You eat and drink all day. I didn't go eat with the captain though. I ain't want to.
Is that a thing? You go eat with the captain on a cruise?
You get dressed up and go eat with the captain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You eat with the captain. It's like certain nights, it's like ballroom setting, and you put on some nice clothes and you go eat with the captain.
Oh, okay.
I didn't do that.
I've never been on a cruise. I have zero desire whatsoever to go on a cruise.
Nah, it's cool, man. It's probably the best sleep that I've ever had. It's one of those things where, it's bananas, because especially when you leave land and you're just out there cruising in a boat. It's the waves are crashing, but the boat doesn't really move. It's pretty cool.
Okay. I don't know, man. Being on the water for that period of time, kind of, and I know there's probably a lot to do out there.
Yeah, I mean, you can go work out. They have a gym.
Casinos and stuff like
they
that.
They have malls on the boats and stuff. Some of the boats are big, man, real big.
Yeah. Well, maybe someday. But
yeah, it was cool. You could catch the boat down here in Maryland, like in Maryland.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They got cruises in Maryland.
I thought they all went out of Florida.
Not all of them. They go out of Maryland. Some go out of Maryland.
Okay. Well, there you go. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, a lot of Phillies talk in the first couple hours of the show here. So they are out west getting you caught up. If you didn't get to see all the game last night, you missed an awful, awful performance from Phil Cuzzy, the umpire behind home plate last night. Just terrible calls. Bryce Harper and a bat in the eighth inning. You go look at the pitch by pitch. None of these pitches are strikes. Bryce Harper called out on strikes in that at bat. Ryan Kirkering, on the other hand, he has a sequence in the bottom of the eighth where he throws three strike threes consecutively. All of them called balls. Rob Thompson doesn't get fired up, doesn't do anything about it. I'm a Topper guy. I think Topper was in the wrong last night. Think he should have done something. What do you think on that? And also, you can get in. We'll get to all your phone calls. Do the Phillies need a major move, like packaging Alec Boehm for a guy like Austin Riley? Is that something they should consider? Or maybe minor moves that try to get them over the hump to react to last night's game as well? Plus, when we get back, I got to get to something here on the Sixers. Which they made a signing yesterday that I do not understand whatsoever. We need to get to that, Hugh. So we'll talk about that in the next segment. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.